Singing duo The Chicks were a household name throughout New Zealand in the 60s. Sisters Judy and Sue Donaldson were thrust into the limelight in their early to mid-teens. Constantly performing on New Zealand's only television channel at the time, the program was called Come On, they became very famous very quickly. Sue was blonde and Judy was brunette. They made a striking pair and were well known for their vocal harmonies. They also sounded amazing when they sang in unison. Judy is married to Ross Heineman, who is also a musician. And it is my pleasure to be talking to Judy today in the studio. Welcome, Judy.
Hi, Larry. Great to be here.
There she is. Okay, so we know that you started very young. Just give us a very brief rundown. You've probably done this many times, I know, but just give us a quick synopsis of, you know, how you sort of, very briefly, how you got into it.
We started singing at the age of 4 and 6. Our mum used to teach us little songs on the piano. She played the piano and we would sing, and she taught us how to do harmonies. And everyone was quite amazed that at the age of 6 I could sing and keep harmonies.
That is great, yeah.
I just thought it was normal for me. But
okay.
And then when we went to Huapai School, which I really enjoyed going there.
And that's just outside Auckland, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. West Auckland. And all the girls, at just about more often than not, at lunchtime they would, and morning tea time sometimes, they'd bail us both up in the toilets. I always got scared to go to the loo at the school. They'd bail us both up and they wouldn't let us go until we'd sung a song. And quite often, you know, the bell would ring and we'd be stuck in there.
Oh, okay.
They had to wait till the song finished. And we had to sing out the front of the school choir at school choir competitions and things like that. We sang in harmony then.
So you were already on your way in a sort of funny kind of way, weren't you?
We won a talent quest too, down in, won a big box of chocolates, and we were competing with adults when we were 8 and 6 down in Tauranga at the Sunshell.
It's a shame, isn't it, that people didn't commonly have video cameras and things in those days.
I know, yeah. Wouldn't it have been great?
And then, of course, we know how you got discovered.
Yes, well, Peter Poser was a very well-known New Zealand guitarist. He had a big hit out called White Rabbit, and we were walking down the street with some friends from just not far from where we lived in Henderson one day after school, and we heard him playing his guitar on the balcony of a nearby house, and we hid behind a bush and, oh, that's Peter Poser, you know, oh, let's go and get his autograph. Our friends went up with us and they said, these girls sing, you should hear them, they're really good. And I sort of, you know, turned around and glared.
Sort of shrunk away, yeah.
Which I shouldn't have done. And then Peter Poser said, oh, is that right? Well, you sing us a song then, girls, and then I'll give you the autograph. And Ron Dalton was there, who was his recording manager. And it was like a fairy tale, really. He said, what's your phone number? Where do you live? I'm going to ring you up and see if, would you like to come in for an audition at Viking Studios one day? Wow, would we ever? So we ran home. It was only 3 doors down the road. Ran home to Mum and Dad, all excited, and told them this news. And Mum said, ah, forget it. You'll never hear from them again. And 3 weeks later, the phone rang. And it was Ron Dalton. When can the girls come in for an audition? And we went in one night time. And Mike Pajanik and his band were there. And it was fabulous. All new, very new to us, of course, but that was great.
How did you actually get on TV then? Do you remember that moment?
We were pushed on. Our legs were like jelly. Ron Dalton was our manager too, so he organised that. I mean, he was our recording manager and our other, just
sure,
everything manager. He actually thought of the Chicks' image with the beetle boots and the leotards and the jumpers, with big designs on them, triangle designs that we wore, colourful jumpers. A picture of that is on our album, okay, our first album cover.
Oh, yes, I remember that picture.
Yeah. And anyway, he made sure he put something in the paper. It was all organised on the day before we went on TV that night, and he just told us that we were going to be singing the Hucklebuck on TV, on the Beatside programme.
Hey. If you don't know how to do it, then you're out of luck. You shove your baby in, twist her all around. Then you start a stomping and a moving all around. A wriggle like a snake, a wobble like a dove. That's what you do when you do the Hufflepuff. And now here's
our dance. So we turned up with legs like jelly and were pushed on, and I couldn't believe it was all over before I knew anything about it.
Right.
All these cameramen smiling at us.
Yeah. And that would have been live, wouldn't it?
We just had to mime. I mean, we weren't singing it. They were playing the record.
So from then on, you were on TV virtually every week.
Once a week, Saturdays.
And with New Zealand only having one television channel, you pretty much had the market cornered.
I know. I mean, if we did it now, we may not be so lucky as to have such a good career, because, I mean, there's a lot more TV channels to choose from now.
And then suddenly you were thrust into touring with international acts.
Our first gig was in Dargaville. And that's all the experience that we had.
Oh,
and
really?
Then we were thrown into a nationwide tour with Sandy Shaw and the Pretty Things and Eden Kane. So it was all terribly exciting.
That's phenomenal. You know,
I
that
know,
really
it
is.
Phenomenal, isn't
it is a fairy tale. That's what's great about this story. Mm. So tell us about that tour, the Pretty Things.
Mm. I can't remember if we went on first, but we went on sort of early-ish in the first half with our first act, you know. And then we also did the vocal backings for Sandy Shaw. But she didn't want us on stage. She thought we were a bit of a distraction from her.
Okay.
So we had to stand out the back behind the curtain and we sang all, you know, vocal backings for her songs.
Okay.
I don't think she acknowledged us or anything. She was interesting to tour with, and she came out here with her father, and he was a lovely guy, her father, but they had to come round in the bus with us. Sometimes they flew places, and other times they came on the bus with us, like I think the airports were closed or something. I always remember one funny thing, Viv Prince, I was sitting next to him once, and we were on the way to Whanganui from wherever we were before, Palmerston North, I think, and he said, "How far to Whanganui?" And I just cracked up.
Whanganui.
I just never heard that before.
For our overseas listeners, that's Whanganui.
Yeah, Whanganui, Māori pronunciation. Yes. They were apparently told in no uncertain terms by the promoters of the tour that you leave the chicks alone. You don't touch the chicks. So they were very nice to us, and they treated us like their kid sisters. I mean, we were so young. And they were quite sweet, really. They were looking after us. Everyone was looking after us. They looked after us too well.
The thing I remember about that clearly is the headlines in the paper from, I think it was in Wellington, "Pretty Things set fire to the town hall curtains." Or something like that.
Yes. Oh, they were pretty mischievous. But they were always very good to us.
Yes.
They treated us like kid sisters.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah. So it's like a lot of these things. They were probably just boys themselves, really, weren't they?
Oh, they had long sort of matted hair. But then at the end of the show, we'd go back to the hotel and we were escorted up to our room and taken in, and then they would wait. Not the Pretty Things, the manager, the promoter, that was running the whole tour would wait until we'd in the room and lock the door. Waited until we locked the door, and then he would leave and we could hear them parting down the hall, but we were not allowed to go to any of their parties. We did a 3-week tour with Dinah Lee. That's when I had to sort of leave my job at Jorgensen's Home Appliances because my boss was not too happy about me coming back to work and then going away again 3 weeks later.
And I should explain, Dinah Lee being one of New Zealand's most famous female vocalists at the time with a huge hit, The Blue Beat.
Come on and do the Blue Beat.
Fantastic.
Because that's a dance to do. Yes, and then not long after that, we were offered another tour with PJ Proby. May have been the next year, 1966. Anyway, Eden Kane was on that one as well, so we got the chance to see him again. That was great. We always got on well with him.
He's the brother of Peter Sarstedt. His real name is Richard Sarstedt, I think.
Yes.
So there you go. I didn't know that.
Boys cry when no one can see them, when no one can see them cry. No one can see them cry.
You toured with Eden Kane twice.
Yes, we did. He's a nice guy. We were so pleased, you know, to be doing it with him again, and you came out in a white, crisp suit and sang Boys Cry, of course, and all the girls were screaming.
So the backing behind Eden Kane would have been one of our local bands, obviously, playing behind him.
Oh, yes, all the best musicians, Mike Pajanic and Bruce King on drums. And
they were good musicians. They were very good, actually. They would have been world standard. One thing we had here was a very high standard of studio session musician and the same guys playing live.
And we were lucky, Sue and I, because we had those musos playing on our records.
I know.
And from the start, weren't we lucky?
That is great. It's a great formula. You know, get the best musicians, get a unique act, put it all together and make something special.
I know. But Eden Kane actually gave us his phone number and his address in England and to keep in touch. And I've lost it. And I was so cheesed off when I lost it. So he was very popular, I think, because he came on a third tour that we went on after that, and he did ring us up at home to say hi, and we were so flattered. We thought, wow, he's really, because he's not big-headed at all. He's a really nice guy. Just rang up to see how we were.
Fantastic.
It's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, the story that I've got that's a bit amusing about PJ Proby is that on our tour we went up north, which we didn't do on the Sandy Shore tour, and we went up to Whangarei, which is Maori pronunciation is Whangarei.
And that's getting up near the top of the North Island of New Zealand.
That's right. Yep. And we were booked into the best hotel there, which, I must say, there wasn't really much there at the time, but it was the Grand Hotel in Whangarei. And, of course, PJ Proby, being the highest named one on the tour, got the best room, which was the room that the Queen had stayed in 1958 when she came out here. And it wasn't good enough for him. He didn't like it. He went and slept in the bus.
Oh, really?
He slept in the tour bus. Groupies. What about the groupies?
Oh, really? Yeah.
That opened our eyes more than anything. Two sweet, pure, innocent little girls from the country. These girls lining up down the stairways of these hotels with a door opening and someone saying, "Next!"
Oh, no. Now, here's a wonderful picture, Judy. This is one of your early albums. We've just come across this on the internet, and you started telling me about information about the picture. It's very interesting.
Yes, the cover of A Long Time Coming album, which was our fifth album, the album that we did.
And that's you on the right.
Yes, this was the Long Time Coming album. It was our fifth album that we made. We were taken to Roger Donaldson's studio. I don't think he's a relation of ours, but we're not quite sure.
But of course, for those that don't know, that's the Roger Donaldson who became eventually the famous director, and he made the movie The World's Fastest Indian.
That's right, and wasn't that a great movie too?
Yes, it sure was.
But before he went into directing, he was a photographer, very well-known one too, and he had a photographic studio in Parnell in Auckland, and Ron Dalton, our manager, took us there for a photo session, and he just said, "Can you do something different with the girls?" So he hung up this sacking from the roof, and it hung down, and we had to go and stand behind the sacking, and he just said, "Okay, right, one, two, three, click," sort of thing, and neither of us knew how each other was looking, so it was amazing how well it came out. We've actually got a blown-up photo of that on our wall at home in the lounge. It's so good. It's so unique.
That's fantastic. Oh, thank you, Judy. Thank you for sharing with me those little bits and pieces.
That's great. I enjoyed the interview. Thanks, Larry. Bye.